You may now begin your conference.
Great. I'm sorry. We're going to start over then. This is a big day. This is Dr. Karen Remley, the health commissioner, for those of you on the phone. And I have standing here with me both Jeremy Greenfield, who's the director of advocacy from the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association, and he serves as liaison with the hospitals and healthcare for hospitals and healthcare systems to the General Assembly, the executive branch, regulatory boards, and the clinical community. And on my other side, I have Dr. Tamara Barnes, who is the current president of the Virginia College of Emergency Physicians and is the medical director at Henrico Emergency Department here in Richmond. And today we've got something very exciting to talk about. I think it's not only a testament to the very hard work of these individuals and their organizations, but to the ability to get to look at a clinical problem and come up with a solution that makes sense for Virginia. We've developed guidance proactively that will assist hospitals in developing policies and procedures to assure that patients who are waiting for an inpatient hospital bed after having been seen in the emergency department will be able to have necessary care and services. And I think probably many of you either have had a loved one or yourself have had that experience where you're admitted to the hospital, but there's no bed available. And so you're what we call being boarded in the emergency department or in a hallway. And what we really tried to do was to work with all of the stakeholders, which are the physicians who are involved in care, the hospitals who are involved in care, to say, how do we develop some clinical guidelines, some guidelines that if you're a hospital that has issues with boarding, that can help you figure out an effective and efficient way to take care of those patients and guarantee quality and safety. It was something that was very important to the health department because certainly we learned through H1N1 that working collaboratively with our partners and coming up with solutions that don't necessarily involve dictatorial approaches but involve collaboration is really the way to go. With H1N1, we had a very successful collaboration, and this is just evidence of that again. So I think this was a very important, the guidance is being sent out today to every hospital in the state. We will work with hospitals, and we will work with our emergency departments to learn and understand how well this guidance works and how we might want to modify it as we go forward. And with that, I'm going to stop and reintroduce Mr. Jeremy Greenfield from VHHA, who's going to speak with us for a few minutes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Riley. I almost got a promotion right there.
Yeah.
To doctor. I would be very proud to be a physician. Thank you. My name is Jeremy Greenfield. I'm the Director of Advocacy for the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association. Our association represents approximately 44 health systems, and those are mainly hospital-based health systems throughout the entire Commonwealth. The goal of our association is to improve the health status of the communities where our members are active. We were very encouraged when Commissioner Remley approached us about working on this project, especially working together with the Virginia College of Emergency Physicians. Our process at first was to survey our members back in March, right around the time that health care reform was just passed. One of the main components of reform was an expansion of the Medicaid program. We believe that this expansion will greatly benefit Virginians, but it will also pose a few challenges along with it. The expansion of the Medicaid program, we believe, will likely give coverage to 300,000 to 400,000 Virginians who previously had no coverage. Because they had no coverage before, we're fairly confident that they have not been seeking care. However, once they do receive that coverage in 2014, they will begin to seek care. The same can be said of those Virginians that start to receive coverage through the health exchanges that are also mandated by the federal health care reform. But what we expect in 2014 is a surge of newly covered Virginians. That's going to place an immense burden on our health care system. One of the ways to ease that burden is to work now to ensure that our hospital patient flow is as efficient as possible, so that ED patients are seen quickly, diagnosed correctly, and when warranted, admitted and placed in a bed on a unit as quickly as possible. Mitigating ED boarding is part of the whole process. This guidance document, we believe, will help guide the conversations necessary to improve hospital efficiencies in preparation for the coming patient surge, while still allowing each individual facility the flexibility it needs to provide the highest quality care to its unique patient population. We believe this is an immensely successful collaboration between the Department of Health and the College of Emergency Physicians. We look forward to working together to improve patient care in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And as you can tell, we're all excited about the fact that this really was a great collaboration. And Dr. Barnes would like to say a few things about the perspective from the emergency department's position.
Thank you.
As Dr. Romy said, I'm Dr. Tamara Barnes. I'm an actively practicing emergency physician here in Richmond, and I've practiced across different areas of our state. I am also currently the president of the Virginia College of Emergency Physicians. We'd like to thank Secretary Hazel, who couldn't be with us here today, and Commissioner Ramley, and the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association for showing leadership and taking this first step toward addressing boarding in Virginia's emergency departments. We do believe that addressing boarding now is more important than ever. We do think that with federal health care reform, we're going to see an increase in emergency department visits. We saw this in Massachusetts when they did offer universal coverage to their citizens. They expected a decrease in emergency department patient visits, but they actually saw the opposite with an increase. So we do expect as federal health care reform is rolled out that we will see an increase in patients, and we do want to be ready for those. Moving stable patients out of the emergency department and into other parts of the hospital means that we will have resources available in the emergency department to quickly take care of our most vulnerable patients, those with emergencies who need our care immediately. Addressing boarding can reduce ED wait times. We know that the last thing anybody wants when they have an emergency, if they have an injured or ill loved one, is to have to wait in a waiting room. We're looking forward to continuing to work with public health officials and the hospital association with determining how well this guidance document works and working with hospitals to develop specific plans to really roll this guidance document out. Thanks very much.
We're going to stop there and see if there's any questions from either anyone here in the audience first. Sure, and I think I'm going to let these guys answer after I give my brief answer. But when you look at the guidance document, it carefully looks at everything from if you're going to move a patient to a different part of the hospital rather than a traditional bed in a room, what are the fire regulations you need to consider, what are the things you need to think about to make sure you can guarantee the same quality of care and that they have good access to the clinicians that need to care for them and any equipment that might be needed. And we really, this is a guidance document to really begin that conversation. For many years, I think hospitals, physicians, especially emergency room physicians, knew that there were issues with boarding, but this is an opportunity to say the state is helping us facilitate sitting down and saying, what's going to work well in my institution? And the importance of this document is that it's important not only on a very busy Saturday night at 2 o'clock in the morning when there are five people in the emergency department who need to be admitted but don't have beds yet, but it also is a very important document for if we have anything from a local disaster where you have a big accident, you have a lot of people that need to be admitted in a short period of time, to a peak in influenza where you may have very crowded emergency departments. So it really allows that emergency department, and not just the physicians, but the nurses and everyone else engaged, to continue to care for people as they come in the door so that the emergency department itself doesn't become another inpatient ward. Do you have anything to add,
Dr. Barnes?
I think basically it's just emergency departments for years have been really good at handling surge, handling lots of patients who come in at one time. And some of the ways we deal with this is sometimes we don't have enough beds. What do? We bring patients who don't need anything right away, and we put them in our hallways, and we've just kind of become used to that. And what this guidance document is saying, and other states have done this and are doing this and doing it successfully, is that they're saying instead of one department having 12 extra patients than they really should be having in one place, to spread the work around, and that it's actually safer for the patients and they get better care if we can take them to six different departments and everybody has two extra patients instead of one department carrying all the load. So it's just trying to make hospital medical staff and hospital administration aware that that is an effective solution to one of the solutions, not just the only one, but one of the solutions to this problem.
I think the important thing is that each hospital will look at this guidance, and this is why it's a guidance and why it's so important that this is our first step. They're going to look at this, and each hospital will approach it differently.
So examples I'll give you is you may have one hospital that says we will keep them in what was our surgery recovery area and call in nurses to care for them there. Another hospital may have a different solution, which may, and it will be an individual solution. And that's why we did work very hard for, geez, I think it's been close to a year that we've worked on this together, so that we could allow hospitals the flexibility to say it's not just physical plant. Where would that patient be housed, but it's having the staff to be able to care for that patient adequately. So I think we'll see different solutions depending upon what a hospital is like, but the guidance helps provide a way to do this safely and to make sure that all the important things are considered as you do it.
I just wanted to add that another part of this from our perspective was that there are a significant number of hospitals, primarily smaller rural hospitals, that have absolutely no experience with inpatient boarding at all. And come 2014, when they do start to see a surge in patients coming through the emergency department doors, they may begin to experience it, or they may begin to have to board and have no experience with it. And this document, we felt, was a good way to help them to begin to think about what might be coming in the next 5 years as healthcare reform is implemented.
Any other questions? Any questions from the phone?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are currently no questions in queue.
Great. Anybody here have any additional thoughts or questions? Great. Well, I'm going to just go ahead. I'm sorry. That's okay. I think it's great. What's that? Okay. What I want to say again, thank you to everybody for coming. This is really, I think, just an exciting time for the Commonwealth. I think it exemplifies what the governor and the secretary want to do around health care reform, which is to bring the private sector, hospitals, doctors, nurses, everybody together to talk about how do we come up with solutions that work for Virginia that have the flexibility you need to be able to implement them in far southwest Virginia in a very small hospital and in downtown VCU in a very big hospital. So thank you very much for coming.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.